Off the ball. Rugby.
We are such a minor sport here. We are competing against these giants. And the only thing we've got is the Wallabies. Because rugby league and AFL, they don't have someone wearing a gold jersey all the time.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Well, Jackie, it's great to see you in Cork.
Lovely to be here.
I usually see you in Limerick.
The best place to see me is Limerick.
It must bring back some memories, though, when you're going to games like this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, the banter is going to be wicked. And some of the stories that will be told there today, yeah, some very fond memories. You know, it's like, even at times, you know, you get that little ache because it's not, you're not playing anymore. Yeah. But, yeah, it's like little pockets of those memories coming back. It gives you that warm feeling that you were once part of it. Once you're part of the Irish team, you kind of never let it go. You're still jumping for the line out and the ball. And
yeah, and of course, the English-Irish rivalry.
Oh, what better one could we get?
I can't believe I'm saying the 60s now, because I wouldn't put you in the 60s at all, but I know that's where it began. So bring us back, Jackie.
Yeah, back in the 60s. So I suppose, as you probably know, a lot of Irish people emigrated to England. And my family were no different. My mother's sisters and brothers, mum followed suit, one of the youngest, leaving her dad in Limerick City. She ended up pregnant with little old me. She decided to write to her dad and say she was coming back to Limerick. She was bringing her child. It was a bit of a shock for them. Her child was of colour. Mm-hmm. If he was there to meet her, great. And if not, she'd go back on the boat and train. Yeah. Luckily for me, he was there and proudly walked down O'Connell Street with me, you know, in his arms. So, but sadly, 2 months in, a knock on the door and an ambulance pulled up with a priest, two nuns and two gardaí, and literally took me from my mother's arms. I was told later on by some friends of mum's, neighbours, that she ran after the ambulance barefoot. And it was simply unmarried mother, child of colour. I went on to spend the next 5.5 years in Mount St. Vincent in the industrial school, which was... it was a cruel place. It was a harrowing place. It wasn't a place of love, you know. My mom used to come and visit, but cruelly again, they told her not to say that she was my mother. So to me, it was a woman that used to come and visit on a Saturday when the nuns were on their best behavior because parents were around. And this woman would come and take an hour of my time. So I actually didn't like her very much for that, not knowing who she was, you know. The trauma was to come when my mother finally met and married my dad, Mickey O'Brien, an All-Ireland handball champ. They went on to fight to get me out. That was a whole new world to me. But it was traumatic because this was not my home. The industrial school was my home, and people find that hard to understand, but I suppose that's where my resilience started. Mm. I think my mom and dad instilled something in me to not let the industrial school take my heart or my sense of purpose or my sense of being.
So now you've got your kind of back into this, I guess, what you didn't know was affected your home, what felt like a new place to you. You're this new family, which actually are your family. Mm. But also you're in Limerick, and like, you know, I've lived in Limerick. I love Limerick. I think it's one of the greatest cities and counties. I'd imagine Limerick, though, was very different back then as well.
The thing I love most about Limerick is if you're good at any kind of sport, even if it's tiddlywinks, you become not just Limerick, you become our Jackie. Once I was on a pitch, my head went up. Yeah. The shy black girl was gone. You know, I'm on the soccer pitch. You've people cheering you on from the sideline. You stop being the black kid, you become the sports player, you know, the soccer player.
So sport, of course, then paved this whole new way for you in life. And when was it, or maybe was it yourself, or was it someone that recognised, right, I'm good at this?
I used to run down in Shelburne Park. It's just down the road from Thomond Park. And one day, just by chance, as I was going down doing an extra little bit, it was my headspace for me.
Okay.
That moment of just running around on my own. Who am I? What am I doing? Where am I going? Why does nobody else look like me? What's life going to be like? And a ball came across my path. I kicked it back, continued on my way. But as I came around again the second time, there's this guy standing in front of me, and I'm going, oh God, bloody Egypt now is going to be, because I kicked his stupid football, you know. And he stopped me, and I was like, yeah. And he said, you've got a sweet left foot. Would you like to take up the game? And I was like, this women's team. I swear, like, just running around that pitch. There was no mention of colour. There was no mention of who's your family, where's your mother from, how come the rest of your family are white and you're black, and none of this. It was just kick a ball, and as I say, the rest is history. I was up in the Marcus Field playing in the first All-Ireland League, and we won. Limerick won the first All-Ireland League. I was 11. Most of my teammates were 18. So yeah, it was a good beginning, but accidental beginning.
So was it all soccer first, or when did you start playing other sports, including rugby?
Yeah, from there on, it was like soccer, soccer, soccer. Luckily enough, came to the attention of the Irish manager. I got on in 1983, yeah, and was lucky. For me, it was a sense of identity.
Yeah.
It was very important to me to wear that green jersey, because my teammates alongside me, as we'd sing our own Nevean, it was hard work. It was being the best at your position. Mm. Wearing that jersey said you were the best. For me, it said you're Irish. So that sense of wanting to be seen as Irish,
yeah,
and not leave my colour be the thing that went before me, was a hunger to get that green jersey. It just felt like, if I wear this jersey, nobody can tell me I'm not Irish.
Not only did you represent Ireland in soccer, you also represented Ireland in rugby. So how did that come about?
It wasn't a choice to give up, yeah, soccer. So, you know, the course of events that happened, I found myself off the Irish squad. For me, I wasn't ready. I was 32, going on 33, but I was super, super fit. I was still playing and coaching the soccer in Limerick. And one day, the girls that played soccer with me said, would you ever come out to Old Crescent? And I said, for what? And we're like, come out and do the physical side of the training. You have a super fit. Instantly, fell in love with the game.
Yeah.
It was as if it was meant to be.
Yeah.
You know, now I hadn't a clue of the rules and regulation. I had not the bog's notion. But I picked it up very quick. Again, Limerick.
Yeah.
6 months later, I made the Munster team. And then 6 months after that, I was back on the Irish team again.
And you were in your 30s at this stage?
I made my international debut, just gone 33 into 34.
Wow.
Yeah.
Incredible.
They have to be the best 5-6 years of my life. You know, I went to Europeans, we went to the World Cup. Mm-hmm. I scored a World Cup try. I captained Ireland A. Everything I didn't get to do in soccer that,
yeah,
we never qualified for, I got to do in the rugby. If I have a regret,
yeah,
it's that I didn't have longer at the rugby.
Mm.
And I'm lucky that I kind of have two sets of family, my soccer family and my rugby family.
Now, you've told me so much about your life growing up, and there's so many other areas I'd like to touch on. Like, obviously, you grew up in a very, you know, Catholic Ireland. You were a person of colour. You're playing all the sport, but then also your sexuality. So can you tell us more about that?
You're growing up with nuns.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, this is bad, that's bad, you're going to hell. And I remember, you know, I suppose around 16 or 17, I started to develop feelings for one of my school friends, you know, and whatever. But I remember thinking, what is this? Yeah. And, you know, you've nobody to talk to. You're riddled with guilt. And for years, I put them aside. Yeah. I went on to get married, and I'm so glad I did. I love my husband, and I went on to have my children. But later on in life, I suppose those feelings came to the fore again. The difference being, as I got older, in sport, there was more like-minded people yeah. came to the game. I found this kind of safe haven with like-minded women where I could have those conversations and express my feelings or my fears or my doubts. It just felt safe.
Yeah. Sport,
within the sport, it gave me that camaraderie to be able to be myself. And once I eventually came out, you know, it was like a moment of... I'm not the only one doing this again.
Yeah.
And I decided a long time ago, I fought so much about the color of my skin that my sexuality wasn't going to be a barrier. You know, I'm gonna just be me, live my life as who I am. And at the end of the day, it's just about loving another human being. So there's nothing to be ashamed of. Like it did when I was 16. And that was it. It was the shame and the guilt and what would come with it that I turned away, you know. And I don't think, looking back now, I would change a thing, because I'm happy as an openly out gay woman.
Yeah. Now, Jack, I think you paved the way for a new generation in rugby, because I think, you know, when it comes to sport, it's very much so if you're born into a certain sporting family and you just play that sport. I think there's been a lot of minorities left out of sport for many years. But, you know, are you noticing the change now in terms of like rugby and seeing more minorities coming into the sport?
It is lovely to see. Sport is a great leveller for, you know, diversity, be it LGBTQ+ or be it people of colour. I always think it opens a door, because on a rugby pitch, a soccer pitch or anything like that, colour goes out the window, sexuality goes out the window, you know, and it's about getting on and competing and making friends and everything like that. For me, I mean, it's an honour to be the first person of colour to play both soccer and rugby for Ireland. It was something that I didn't realise until, I suppose, more recently, when I've people coming to me telling me they have children of mixed race or their child is gay, and you know, what do I advise? I always say, get them involved in sport.
Mm-hmm.
Get them involved in sport. It will grow them. They become part of a team. They become part of a family. And it's absolutely brilliant to see representation for me of people of colour on our Irish squad.
Mm-hmm.
And that will bring the younger generation together into being, wanting to emulate somebody that looks like them.
Yeah.
You know, you can't underestimate what that's like, to be standing, you know, back and looking and seeing somebody that looks like you. And for the younger children, it gives them something, it drives them on. If she can do it, I can do it. And off they go. So, you know, it's amazing what sports does across the board. Diversity within the sport.
Yeah.
Is absolutely brilliant at the moment.
But not only did you pave the way, but you also like have left a lasting remark. Like some of those young girls walked in past us, they were like, Jackie. So it must be like incredible to have that impact on people. Like, yes, you made an impact when you played the sport, but you're still having this ripple effect all these years later.
Yeah, I think it's really funny to see that now. And I find it a wow, like how did I know who I am and what, you know? And that's the power of social media.
Yeah.
In the last 5 years, that has come to the fore.
Mm.
And we're celebrating our trailblazers so much more. Like you've household names like Rosie Foley, as I said, and Joy Neville. Of course, I'll give you the Limerick ones. But you know, and the younger generation know who they were.
Yeah.
And who they are because, you know, of the success that they brought and that belief that they had at a time when they weren't fully be supported. They just kept going and they wanted to break those ceilings, those barriers. And I mean, they deserve to be celebrated on days like today because that's why the stadium will be packed today to watch the Irish team, thanks to the likes of them. So it's amazing to see.
You mentioned social media as well. Now, you're a TikTok star as well, not just an international soccer star, not just an international rugby star, but a TikTok star.
Well, I think my dog Rian is a bigger star than I am. He's an Irish wolfhound. But yeah, I found TikTok was a great way to introduce the next generation of soccer and rugby players so by me telling my story of how sport saved my life. Yeah. And it literally did save my life. And recently I've put pen to paper and I've written my book. It's not a sports book. Yeah. It's, you know, a life story. And it's very releasing to put these words down on paper. But in the core of it all is my soccer and rugby.
Yeah.
The things at my lowest moments that got my head up high, my sense of identity in a green jersey to play for Ireland. And, you know, it's kind of come full circle moment that here I am outside the grounds of, I'm watching all these people coming to watch Irish women's rugby.
And a big coach behind us as well.
A big coach behind us. But yeah, it's amazing to see. I didn't see this happening, but I'm just so delighted to have been a part of it at the start, you know, and the head is high, you know, there's no more down days. Yeah. I'm just enjoying it.
Your story isn't just about sport. There are so many elements to it. Tell us more about the process of even just, I guess, getting the publishing deal and then writing a book.
Yeah, well, it was kind of a funny road. About 4 years ago, I decided to go on TikTok. Now, I initially went on TikTok just to be funny and do, I like a sense of humor. When I was growing up, it was one of my kind of armors. Yeah. If I'm funny, people will like me, therefore I'm okay. It initially started as that, and then I started to tell the story of my start in life and then how sport came into it and how it gave me the confidence off the pitch as well as on the pitch. And more people came in and started to say, oh my God, I want to hear more. How did you deal with this? And how did you deal with that? If it be black and Irish or coming out, being married, having children, the whole gamut of things, you know, that is Jackie McCarthy O'Brien. So one day I took the plunge, took out my phone and a notebook, rang round agents, and I was so lucky I got Marion Gunn O'Connor to come in. She said, wow, what a story. I was signed up the next day. And then I was lucky enough to get 5 of the top publishers to come in and say, yeah, we love the idea, we'll go for it. So I spoke to Bonnie Books, who seemed to understand.
Yeah.
I didn't want the sports book. I didn't want an industrial school book. I didn't want a black book, and I didn't want, you know, an LGB. It was a life story and is a story about resilience, how I use sport to keep getting up, how I didn't leave my color define my future. So it's also a homage to my mom and dad and to the people of Limerick that constantly pick me up when something happens and they get my back and they understand me. And as we always say in Limerick, I'm not Jackie, it's our Jackie, and I love it, you know. I always say, if you caught me in the middle, you'd see Irish and Limerick, and the outside Jamaican, and that's it, that's who I am. So hopefully, in the next month or two, the book will be out, and
brilliant.
I'm looking forward to putting the story to bed and closing the chapter. I hope it helps some people, and I think it will. But for me, it's just the closing of that, and moving forward into a happy life, retired and enjoying days like today, coming here and watching my beloved Irish team play.